Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, cool. Keep the lights down. We locked in tonight. USA, I see you. Love there. Peace and life, family. Welcome to the Vain Verdict. Give yourself a round of applause. Matter of fact, give yourself another round of applause. Like to welcome y'all to the Vain Verdict. Here to get a game service where that cause change ain't certain, but with this truth, it gonna make all the pain worth it, y'all. Gracious host this evening. Go by the person by the name of Pimp Black. That is an acronym, family, that stands for Person in the Making Progress. And I'm gonna do that while I got this dog cute laying on me. You feel me? I'm gonna hold that down while I'm sitting on this melanin, family. Peace and light to everybody out there. Wednesday night, April 11th, 2018. A day like we never seen before, a day I'm sure we'll probably never see again, fam. Great time, right? Had a good day today, fam. I can't complain at nothing. Before I continue, though, I got to give a special shout out to my brother, Artie McFly, at Art. Artful Blessed Creation. Y'all can go check him out right now on Instagram. Again, that's at Artful Blessed Creation. A lot of custom jewelry, time pieces were made from life's greatest metals and elements. So, again, my brother hooked up the Tree of Life for me and the Black Obsidian and them little clubs on Geekware. So, y'all make sure y'all go check my brother Artie McFly, y'all, at Artful Blessed Creations. You hear me? Chris Smith Multimedia. Peace and life, family. Y'all make sure y'all go check Chris Smith Multimedia.weebly.com. My brother doing graphic designs over there. I apologize, family, getting some things squared away for our guests coming on tonight. Also, I make sure before Ben, y'all follow him on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere that you listen to your music at. You like to stream me music or check him out at. One of the main reasons, only because it's great content, great, you know, original music by my brother. But you know, my first music on iTunes is on my brother B More Ben's album, man. So salute to my brother and much love to him for that. So y'all make sure y'all go check B More Ben out. What else we got, family? Of course, Pete Chef ATL, my girl Chelsea, Chef CEO Burn. Peace and light to her. You know, she's been on doing her thing right now. Met her about 5 or 6 years ago. So they just had the art expose, and much love to everybody that came out to support that back in March, you know. Y'all can follow her on Instagram for those that didn't check her out. That's at Peach Chef ATL. Check out some of the great dishes, cuisines. Even her might hook you up, man. She might hook y'all up with a secret recipe. You did. Also, y'all stay tuned. Y'all already know Trap the Series, at Trap the Series, created by my brother Eric Davis, written by my brother Eric Davis, and also Andrew Covington, directed and bringing the visuals to life by the brother Joseph Henderson, head graphics of 8A Side Entertainment. Y'all make sure y'all go check that out on youtube.com/trap50s, episode 201, 202, 203, 204 be out next week, y'all. So y'all make sure y'all stay tuned for that. And y'all already know might have a little surprise for y'all, especially as far as the casting go next week. So y'all make sure y'all stay on deck for that, right? And Tisa, last but not least, of course not, much love to my brother, Dominique Garner, a.k.a. Graham. Photography and all your visual needs. Man, my brother just started this production company called Good Grounds Productions, of course. Really, really excited. I've been, you know, talking about it a lot here on the podcast about, really just stepping into my light. Stepping out and forward, man. So, it's our first project. Our first script, and we'll be doing production on our master series. Again, stay tuned. I'll be dropping trailer real soon. I just got to make everything right, y'all. I know I said on the last show to be looking out for the trailer. A couple of people be DMing me, what about it. But you know how this go, man. I got to make sure everything right. This is my baby. So according to this, if you understand my word, this is my firstborn. In this genre, so I want to make sure everything is right. I've been, of course, been doing my studying over the last year and a half, 2 years since I joined the cast of the Trap series up in North Carolina, man. And it opened up something in me that I didn't really know I had, or I did know I had. I just didn't know how to, bring it out of myself and really exude it, really hone that gift. So, and always, man, and I have to give thanks, of course, to my creator, give my thanks to the gods, to the universe. But here on this earth, in this realm, I really thank my brother Eric Davis for giving me that opportunity to join the Castle Trap, because it opened me up now. It really got me back. So my brother saw something in me. And, of course, the acting was something that been there, but it's something I had lost passion for a while. And then I know the brother saw something, man, and I salute him for that. And I think I honestly probably, I feel like I feel be indebted to him. Again, my brother Eric Davis, my brother Dominique Garner again. About to do some great business, my guy. You feel me? Do some great business, man. So y'all really stay tuned for Good Ground Productions. YouTube.com. The YouTube channel will be up and running real soon. Along with the Instagram, Facebook, Twitter accounts, all the social media accounts. So y'all get ready to follow Good Ground Productions, man. I need y'all help, family. Plus, I need y'all to help, take this to the next level. And, of course, doing that, by us, for us, family. So along with, I have a GoFundMe for Big Grounds Productions, as well as, y'all can go visit. It's still up right now, man. We support help right here. Y'all like, what we're doing over here. We got a couple more things in mind that, need some help trying to get situated. Of course, we work on doing the live stream, a few nights a week, mainly on Fridays, what I really want to do, but these things take time, they take effort, strategic planning, and they take finance, family. And I'm a working man. I'm a blue, black, white collar guy. So y'all make sure y'all go, send any kind of love. It'd be greatly appreciated, family. At GoFundMe.com/TheVainVerdictPodcast. Again, that's GoFundMe.com/TheVainVerdictPodcast. Any kind of support, $1, $2, whatever it is, man, gonna help keep this thing afloat. Gonna help us keep bringing y'all the truth. You know what I mean? Because, again, that's all we striving to do. That's all we striving to do over here, family, is keep a little truth, right? So, there you went. And peace of light, salute to my girl, Miss K. Think she's sitting this one out tonight. She had a long, busy day. So, salute to Ms. K. see you back in effect, back on the team, back in the camp, back in headquarters, back on the field, ready for action on this coming Friday. So, salute to Ms. K. We're going to get ready for that. All right, family. Tell you what. Let's go ahead and get into some news before I get on. All right, little light news tonight, family. Be real brief about it. This one here is, this one really kind of tripped me out a little bit, y'all, but we're going to get into it, though. 3 filed not guilty in a Waffle House sex tape case. Yeah, a housekeeper and 2 lawyers were acquitted Wednesday on charges that they made an illegal sex tape with Waffle House chairman Joe Rogers Jr. Rogers said that sexual acts with my Brenda were consensual, but Brenda testified that she feared losing her job if she refused his advances. Video was filmed in Rogers' bedroom, and prosecutors argued he had a right to privacy in his own home. The tape was at the center of a 6-year-long tangle of civil and criminal investigation that went all the way to the state Supreme Court last year. But again, like I said, the woman and, you know, the lawyers who made the tape were acquitted of all charges. So basically, y'all know what that means. Somebody passed out. Amen. That's not. Yo, do y'all remember the guy that Tex McGivern? Yeah, that's charged with 7 counts in the crime of killing his wife. Amen. Down at Turner Constitution, Channel 2 Action News, the story takes murder trial. Judge is telling the jury that it's possible the defense finish its witnesses by Friday. If that estimate holds, it means the takes to go to the jury for deliberation possibly earlier 6 weeks. After lengthy press coverage and social media discussion about the seemingly grasping through the sale, Diane McIver's closing jury soon after her death, we are learning who gave Tex McIver the idea. Attorney Stanley Smith was on the stand, said he advised Tex McIver to sell some of Diane McIver's non-cash assets in order to pay the large cash that gets laid out in her will. At the time of her death, Diane McIver had a total cash asset of $275,000. But her will instructed cash to be paid for $350,000, about $95,000 or short, you know. He said after evaluating her estate, he advised Tex to sell her clothes. Jury infers to raise the cash. The items were stylish, and he said they were wasted assets that would only lose value as time passed. If you waited until next year, you could go out of style, and the value could be down. On top of all of that, the judge in the case dropped 2 of the charges against him. I don't know, but you know, y'all, you know, murder charges all that are still weighing over gentleman's head. So, it's gonna be that, fam. And of course, we have, of course, I don't like to get into Trump and the whole Russia thing anymore. At this point, I'll save that because it's such touching. But all I can say is Trump tweeted out earlier today that we will be sending missiles into Syria, and he's going to be doing that real soon. And of course, that was in response to Vladimir sending a message up him about that if U.S. fires at Syria, he will shoot all missiles down. Very intense situation going through that Middle East family. Our hearts and prayers can only be with troops and everyone involved in this military, man. Because at the end of the day, our military soldiers and our families are the ones that have to pay these prices for the decisions that our leaders make, you know? So, again, peace and light goes out to those families. But, because we're on 15 minutes into the hour, family. We're going to get ready to get into it while we're here tonight, you know? It's one of my It's one of those conversations I like to have. Conversations dealing with strength, inner strength, you know, mainly mental and spiritual. The question was raised. Well, no, before I get into how the question was raised, I don't know if y'all, you know, if all my family's all following the Vane Verdict Instagram and Vane Verdict Facebook to get a chance to actually see the flyer that we threw out. And it was mainly dealing that a life coach, great brother Jamel Davenport, posted out. And one of the things he said in the video promo, the flyer that was said, was when the Spirit of God tells you it's time to leave everything and everyone behind, do you respond with faith or do you respond with fear? And that touched me in such a deep way because, you know, like, you know, of course, here on our platform, family, I believe in transparency. You know, I believe in being open and honest, and that's one of the reasons that I like to say I created this platform, you know, along with, you know, getting information out. But some things had arose, new challenges arose in my life for finances go, and it led me to, I guess, a point of almost breaking. That's why when this video that Coach Davenport, you know, put out, it touched me at a time because I was literally battling this at a time, and it was just like perfect for me because I really wanted him to come on, and it did so much messaging for me within that promo. It did a lot of teaching to me without me actually going into the conversation with Coach Davenport on why I really wanted to go into it in the first place. So I wanted to invite the coach on here to kind of, you know, have a conversation with us to even let us, what even led him to, you know, posting that video up. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I'd like y'all to welcome Coach Jamel Davenport to the podcast. Welcome, son.
My good brother, how are you?
Peace and light, brother. Can't complain. Things great.
Thank
great
you.
To see you another day. How about you? You doing all right today?
I believe that I may have not seen the day that you saw, but I am as blessed as you are to have seen another day.
So
for that, I am grateful, and I'm doing well.
Yes, sir. Well said. Well said, sir. Well said. So first
Thank
question
you for having me
it.
On the show and
oh,
just
yeah,
sharing this platform with me, but I do appreciate it.
Oh, it's an honor, man. We right now we have about 312 listeners right now. We have 20% of the 20% of those people are actually overseas from Tokyo, Japan, Norway, Sweden. We got the UK, we got South Africa checking in as well, and of course, our family right here in the States.
That's right. I've been to every one of those places with the exception of South Africa, which I have every intention of coming to party with you guys during your annual New Year's Eve party, which I heard is amazing in Cape Town. So I'm looking forward to visiting that part of the world soon.
Oh, sweet. That's what's up. So traveling is something you do a lot there, right?
Yeah, man. For a long time, I wanted to make sure that I saw the world without boundaries, without borders, and I gave myself permission to be able to travel as often as I can, without any limitations. And I didn't, when I made that promise to myself, I didn't know how that was going to manifest itself because I wasn't speaking from a place of financial wealth where I could just jump up and go, but I knew that there was a spiritual wealth in me that if I tapped into, it would give me access to places that I've never been or even haven't heard of. And so I know
sure.
With this conversation I had, and I'm going to go back to your first question, but just very quickly, because this will come up later in the conversation of how it all started for me. But I remember coming out of college and saying to myself, okay, it's time to work and save money and, you know, do all the things that we're programmed to do. But one thing I did not accept, and that was someone telling me when and where I could go on vacation and how long I could stay. And so I told myself I would become the authority over my vacations, even if it meant me just jumping in my car and going somewhere for a day or for a weekend. And that conversation I had when I was 20 years old, fast forward to where I am now, has afforded me the opportunities to see the likes of so many incredible, wonderful places, and 90% of the time without me having to actually come out of my own pocket to pay for it.
Wow.
There's so much that you can achieve in life without getting crippled by how it could happen, but just having the faith in the what and not the inability of how. Sometimes we get so caught up in how that we lose sight on the what, and we never get to where we're trying to go.
Sure. And, you know, that's so real that you say that, because that's kind of, I mean, it ties his dead on with the discussion for tonight as well. Because that's something, like I, you know, just explaining before you came on, that's something that I battle with myself, you know, with a particular, I don't even call things obstacles anymore. You know what I mean? I call everything a lesson or a chapter. So a certain chapter that arose itself, you know, with me this week. And of course, that's one of the first things we always do. We look at the finances first, and where am I going to be able to achieve and get to where I'm going, losing sight of the vision anyway. And that's what I found myself doing within my thought process. And so that's why I felt like this topic, you know, it hit on so many levels, you know, like I said, personally with me. And I wanted to dive into that a little bit. But before we go into that, how did you get into the life coaching, if you don't mind me asking? What did you see, like, what made you go into this direction?
That's a really good question. So for me, there were multiple variables that gave me the opportunity of being the coach that I am now. It's, you know, I shadow everything with the language, if you will. Then it's almost like someone would say to you, how did you learn how to speak English? It's like, okay, well, what my parents spoke, it was the primary language, and in school that was the primary language. But it's not just the English language, it's the English experience. It's the experience that you get as an American speaking the English language. And the language you spoke as a child is not the language that you speak as an adolescent, and it's not the language you speak as an adult. And even in your adult years, you still learn a new language. And for me, language becomes a relationship to how I navigate through life. And so for me, coaching, or my profession as a coach, was the same thing, where I've always been a coach, meaning that I've always had a spirit of serving. I've always had a spirit of wanting to help people. I've always had a very wise spirit, and people have always been drawn to share and connect with me on that level. However, my voice as a coach developed over the years until it got to a point where I understood exactly what my specific skill set was. So to answer your question, I believe that there's always been a coach inside of me, but it took a host of life experiences for me to be able to put the title on that experience. So that's the more spiritual component to me growing into becoming a coach, but more on a practical experience. I did go to school for criminal justice. I was told that I was going to be a lawyer because of my insightfulness and wisdom by my parents, and I went as far as to receive a master's degree, and I came out of school and studied different things. I was a social worker, I was a counselor, I was a battered intervention counselor, I was a police officer at some point. I just always found myself still operating in service, and then I furthered my education, expanded myself a little bit, and learned how to become a personal trainer and a nutritionist. And then eventually I went to school to get licensed as a coach. And the coaching was the last stop for me, because I realized that the coaching embodied everything that I had experienced for my education, for my vocation, from just living. And that's when I realized, okay, this is, you can stop here and let's master this skill set. Because I was always interested in doing different things and learning different things. But then when I realized as a coach, I can maintain this title and I can continue to grow and expand my learning, but still do so under the umbrella of this one title. So as a coach, I can learn about podcasting. I can learn about being a lawyer or being an accountant because my clients have such different referencing that my learning doesn't ever have to stop. But I'm still working on the skill set of being a coach.
That's interesting. Very inspirational, I might say. Let me ask you this. At some point, I heard you use the great word stewardship, which is something I've, you know, the older I get, you know, is a word that I'm learning to learn more and more about what exactly it means and what that word entails. So using that, and then you also use another word, spirituality, in there. Was though any of those life experience drew you, I guess you could say, a closer connection with a higher power? I guess it's kind of tackling into a religion, so to speak, that leading you to that good stewardship, you know?
I think for me, I don't know that it drew me closer through the guise of religion. I think for me, it drew me closer to an understanding of relationship. And
I guess let me try to reword the question. I guess what I'm trying to, because like, you know, having, you know, doing your master's degree, going to school for the criminal justice and a lawyer, so, and doing a personal trainer, having traveled, you know, and doing all over the world. So obviously, you know, anybody thinking from a individual or a personal standpoint, that's kind of a, you know, you would look at as a successful person. You see what I mean? So like, what was, a spiritual aspect in you, you know what I mean, that make you want to dedicate more of yourself to helping others as opposed to individual gain?
Okay, let me see if I got what you're saying. You're saying just through my experiences, when I learned about stewardship, did that increase my consciousness of spirituality, or is it as a result of me going through the series of professions that made me to stewardship? Okay, yeah.
Yes,
so it's hand in hand. They're hand in hand. I think there's always been an echoing for me, an undeniable voice that has always shadowed every movement of my life. And depending on where I was in my life, it was either the voice that was leading me or it was living parallel to me. And I think as I got older, I realized how to become more submissive to that authority that was within me. Not submission in a sense where most people think I gave away my power. It was submission and the willingness to understand my power. And in order for me to fully understand it, in my opinion, was for me to understand the source of it. So look, you know, if you look at it like this, going to school and getting your education and working, these are all phenomenal things and they're gifts. We live in a free society that we have the ability to do that. However, these are resources. You know, me working is a resource. Me having a home is a resource. These are the things that show up as a result of the things that I'm able to do. Ultimate source of all things for me comes from God. And what I do with my gift and what I'm able to manifest as a result of my gift is a resource. So the car drive is a resource of my gift that I receive from my source. So if I take the title of a steward, I would rather steward over the resource through the spiritual relationship of God, because I know that my source is greater than the resource. But if I became a slave to the resource, and we all know that when you get things, it loses its energy over time. Every new car becomes old after a while. You know, every new piece of clothing becomes old after a while. So if I'm chasing my happiness or I put my power in that resource, I'm gonna find myself constantly chasing something that can never fully satiate that appetite. So that's why I say I'm a steward over those things, because I know those things are temporary. But I'm a student of my relationship with God, because I know that that's everlasting.
Amazing. Oftentimes, we feel like we have hit rock bottom, or we feel painfully saddened by the routine life sets before us. What does this statement mean to you?
The way I would interpret, often we painfully hit rock bottom. I believe pain is inevitable. Mm. However, the suffering and that pain is optional. So if you do hit rock bottom, that's painful. I can totally empathize with how that would be a painful experience for someone, depending on what your bottom is and what that looks like. However, to stay at the bottom and to remain crippled or paralyzed by that fall is the suffering aspect of life, and that's optional. Not everyone falls rock bottom because of a choice that they intentionally made. Not everyone falls to rock bottom. You know, God forbid, if there's a fire and your house burns down because of faulty wiring, that's no fault of your own, because you didn't wire that home. And so now you have to start over. That's a painful fall. But to harbor that experience and to say that you have bad luck or things don't go your way or you're cursed and there's no way you can get out of it, that's the suffering as a result of that pain experience. And so it's up to you to create a different translation of that experience. You know, life is less about what happens to you and more about how you react to it. And what happens for most of us is that when we fall, the translation of that fall keeps us at the bottom of the pit. It keeps us there. And so as a coach, I find most times what I'm doing is pulling people out of the pit with their own strength. You know, coaches don't jump in the pit and push you out. That's more of a therapeutic standpoint. A coach will stand there and let you know that there's a ladder right there, but you don't see it because you're too focused on your pain. You're too focused on your fall. And then if you just actually rehabilitate your thinking, then you'll be strong enough to climb that ladder again. And know that you may fall one more time, but eventually the fall and the climb, you'll start to see that as an exercise. And then you'll start to understand that it's your spiritual muscles that are being strengthened through repetition. No one gets anywhere without repetition. You want to look at someone like Bruce Lee, the reason why he became who he was is through repetition. Constantly kicking, constantly punching. Mastery comes by repetition. And sometimes the more you go through something is the more you grow through something. So go through something, G-O, is how you grow through something. So we have to go through things in order to grow through things. So I look at the fall as an opportunity to climb. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Very well said, man. Awesome stuff. So when the Spirit of God tells you it's time to leave everything and everyone behind, is your response with faith or with fear?
So there's three people I'll pull from a biblical reference that I like to study, and that's Abraham, who my spiritual standing was and is the father of faith. If you believe into the narrative, and then you have someone like Moses, who was also a man of faith, who led a group of people from bondage into full liberation, and David. And you don't have to believe in these stories literally, or you can. It's totally up to you. For me, I take the spirit of the story out. You know, I have friends who are Muslim and atheists and Buddhists and so on and so forth. And so I'm always integrating these conversations with them. And I say, just you listen to the story and see if you can pull the spirit of the story out. And I'll give you the kind of synopsis of the story very quickly. Abraham was promised something that he had never seen and didn't quite understand. And it was a whisper that came to him in the form of God's voice. and said, Abraham, there's a seed of greatness in you. And if you just believe and follow me by your faith, I will not only bless you, I will bless all your descendants. There's a promise that I have for you that I need you to just trust and believe. And with Moses, it was a similar theme where Moses was in the wilderness, and the story says that there was a burning bush that was speaking to him. Now, you can look at that literally, or you can look at that metaphor. And I like to metaphorically look at that. There's something that was burning inside of me that was speaking to my life and calling me out of the wilderness and into a situation where I can fully operate in my gifts and free people from what they are in bondage from and bring them to a place where they can be free. You follow me?
Yes, sir.
The story of Moses, he was in the wilderness for 40 years, and the burning bush told him, go back and free my people. So Moses went back and he freed the Hebrew people from Pharaoh. But if I were to fast forward my gifts where I am today, when God was whispering to me, there was something burning on the inside that I couldn't ignore, and God was saying, you need to go get my people who are suffering from pain, and you need to be able to help them find purpose in their pain so that they can see the prosperity that I have for them. And then you look at someone like David, who was mining sheep and shepherding his father's flock, and something called him out to be a hero for his people and to face a giant. And I just look at these three people, and David went on to be a great king, but it's so phenomenal because all of them were doing their own thing. They were living their own lives, and God called them out of their comfort zone. He called them out of their space of comfort, their space of certainty, and had them go on a journey of the unknown, only to be met by a challenge, only for that challenge to be conquered by the spiritual faith that God had promised in them. And so when I read those stories, it encourages me and inspires me to know that as comfortable as I think I am or may get, when God calls me, or that whispering or that burning or that desire or that yearning or that inclination, whatever that thing is for you, if you just have faith enough to believe, it doesn't mean fear doesn't shadow you. It doesn't mean faith just immediately eliminates fear. That's not always the case. I was still afraid, but I wasn't fearful. You can be afraid of something and not be fearful. So I was still not fully certain about what the outcome would be, but I was trusting enough to know that if it was from God, it has to be better than what it could be if it was from me. And that goes back to the resource and the source thing. I can trust my resources, or I can trust in the source.
Exactly.
I can go on and on and on about that, but I just, you know, I want to make sure that I give people time to digest it a bit.
Yeah, that's great, right? And then see, we know what I took from it, right? Because like I said, I was taking that I'll call it a question, so to speak. You know, I took that question and I applied it to, you know, my situation, because what it was, I was battling, you know, with my significant other. We had been having the conversation because I'm, you know, got some other things working on as far as like, you know, the series and then with the podcast, I'm looking to take all these things to the next level. And I was telling her it's time for, you know, a drastic change. I need to make a drastic change in order to get where I'm trying to go, because I think I'm almost positive that's what I need to do, because I've been doing the same thing for so long. It's time for me to step out on faith and not worry about the, you know, not really, because if I focus on, you know, the finances and all that, I'm going to lose sight on the goal and the what I'm chasing for. And I felt like that was that spirit of God that's been telling me to do this, because the challenge that the chapter that arose kind of put everything in perspective for that. That's why I said, you know, and you kind of then like, but your interpretation on it, well, that's almost pretty much the same. You just, you know, broke it down another way, you know, so to speak. And that's pretty much how I was taken from it as far as like, you know. And what you're just saying, pretty much trusting in the source no matter what comes.
No matter what.
trusting in the source.
You have to trust in the thing that you come from. You know, we're all sourced from something. You know what I mean? Like, we're sourced from somewhere or something. And if I call it the, you know, I have many names for it, but we come from this invisible vault. You know, I like to ask people sometimes because I don't want to be too deep because I'm not 100% sure where everyone in the audience is, but I'll just kind of play with this for a little bit. I liken what we're experiencing right now with the internet to what the Spirit of God may be. And what I mean by that is that everything is sourced from something, and most of anything that we understand comes from this invisible place, meaning that anything that is visible or tangible at one point had to be invisible and intangible. You know, I'm holding my cell phone, but at one point this cell phone was someone's thought, meaning that this iPhone was not an iPhone. It was someone's thought of what a phone would be, and their thinking manifested what I'm now able to hold, which is an iPhone. But before it was in that person's thought and became an iPhone, where was it? Where was Facebook before it was Facebook? Where was podcasting before it was podcasting? You feel me? Like, where was it sourced from? So that tells me there has to be this spiritual, invisible vault that is holding all these incredible ideas. And so if I'm focused on my resources, which is money or cars or clothes or all these wonderful things, I'm not knocking them. They're all great. But if I give my power to the resource, I limit myself and the ability to tap into the source, which is the combination for the vault that has all these incredible, brilliant ideas and gifts. So I'm never going to focus on the things that my natural eye can conjure up when I know that there's a supernatural lens that I can see things that aren't even here. And that's why very few people leave the world with some of the greatest and most influential ideas, because they're tapping into different sources. And it has nothing to do with religion. This is just operating from a different spiritual lens.
That was awesome.
Let me ask you a couple of questions.
The last thing I want to say about the internet was, with the internet, the reason why I think the internet is so amazing is because you can't walk into anybody's store, you can't touch the internet, you can't feel it, you can't grab it, you can't package it up and send it to anybody, but we know it's there. And for me, I think the internet is becoming a way for humans to start to learn how the workings of God's Spirit is. You may not be able to touch, feel, or understand God's Spirit, but much like the internet, it works in every and anything we do. And I'll leave that right there. So please ask your questions.
That was I've never heard anybody compare the internet to God. Internet is God,
to the Spirit
family.
Of God.
Y'all heard it. Y'all heard it right here. You heard it right here on the Fame Burger. The internet is God. That was dope. Bro. I can't see. I'm so
that's
tagging that clip. That is going viral. That's going viral tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Every day I wake up in the morning and
gratefulness. I don't, my feet don't touch the ground. I don't go to the bathroom. I don't check my phone. I literally whisper, God, I am grateful for, and I will start naming the most from the, thank God, I'm grateful that I can see. I'm grateful I can smell. I'm grateful I slept through the night. I challenge myself to come up with new ways to be grateful for whatever comes to my mind. I'm grateful my hair is still intact. I'm grateful that the members of all my body is working. I'm grateful that my heart is beating between 60 and 80 beats per minute. I'll say anything that I could be grateful for every morning.
Sweet. Dope. Okay.
Yeah.
If I can have a conversation with anyone, dead or alive, it would be?
Oh, man, that's such a good question. There's so many people. I'm just trying to figure out which one I would share with you guys. If I can have a conversation with anyone, dead or alive, think I would sit down. I mean, it'd be so obvious for me to say Jesus, but I am having conversations with him, so I won't take that easy way out because I converse with him often.
Sure.
I think, then me and him, we kick it often. Man, that's a really good question. I think if I could have a conversation with anyone that alive, it would probably be Mother Teresa.
Oh, wow.
Let me tell you why. I think for her, her ability to serve at the level that she did, and for her to have, I mean, if you ever heard of anything from Mother Teresa, you're talking to someone who was very, very, just a calm, kind, very reserved, peaceful woman. So everything in life teaches us that we need to be aggressive, we need to be hustlers, we need to be abrasive, we need to be go-getters, we need to be... All those words do not line up with anyone's image for Mother Teresa.
Hmm.
But yet everyone in the world knows exactly who that woman is and the effects that she had on world peace and poverty and service. And I would like to know what was her moment that told her that this would be her legacy? What was her moment? And what was the conversation that she had with herself that kept her encouraged? I'd like to know that. I'd like to know more about her inner dialogue, because she made such an impact with such little effort. And what I mean by effort, I mean she wasn't stereotypically what we would think a person who had that kind of effect on everybody. She did it without, you know, we didn't have social media as we do now. We didn't have access to, you know, Instagram or Facebook and things like that. So her platform was really just built off of her work. So I would love to know what was those speeches like, those conversations like that she had with herself that kept her momentum going for so many years.
Wow. That's awesome. Nobody's ever said that. I've never heard that. And then your reasoning is great, too. Nobody's ever said Mother Teresa. All right.
Yeah.
You're on a deserted island. You can have two books and one album.
Oh, that's easy. My favorite book is A Course in Miracles Made Easy. A Course in Miracles is a very popular book, but it's designed that you will read one, it's like 365 chapters, or it's a course, and it's a year course. But The Course in Miracles basically takes the brilliance. The Course in Miracles takes the brilliance out of that course, and it compounds it in a way where you can get so much out of it without having to take yourself to such a deep level of thinking, fix, if you will. I recommend it to just about anyone. And it speaks to everyone. It's not a religious book, but it does make reference to spiritual and scriptural thinking. But it doesn't do so in a way of trying to convert or transform you into thinking certain things. It does so to expand and to grow your spiritual thinking. So that will be my book. And Prince, Purple Rain, bro.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. Purple,
you know,
Rain,
what?
I'm with that.
I'm with that. That's in my top five, so I'm going to be honest with you. That's a fact.
Yeah,
you can rock that all day long.
It's an experience, bro. You can create a movie watching that, and then
That's true.
My right. It's a whole vanity. What's my vanity? Apollonia.
Yeah, man.
I Google Apollonia every so often because she's still so fly. But yeah, I think Prince's Purple Rain. I think any man that was able to walk around in 6-inch high heel boots for as long and often as he did, and no one ever said anything about it, is pretty phenomenal to me.
Very much. Very much so.
Yeah. And no one called him any names, if you know what I mean. He was just pretty.
Yeah, man. Facts. My name is Jamel Davenport, and I am...
Jamel Davenport, and I am a servant at heart. I am a servant at heart. Yeah, I won't add anything to that. I'm a servant at heart.
don't think nothing.
I was put here to serve. Yeah, I was put here to serve.
Wow. Is there an expiration date? Is there an ultimate goal you're trying to achieve? Or is it like this is,
yeah,
you know?
Through my service, my goal is to create a language that will heal 1 million people a day.
Wow.
Yeah. And what I mean by that is, when I say about language, it could be a quote, a philosophy, a writing on a wall. It could be an inspiring thought. It could be something that I say to you that you then create on your own and your soon-to-be multi-million audience and viewers and subscribers. It could be when I first interviewed my first coach, he said this, and if there are 1 million subscribers a day listening to you, then that's 1 million views. So I'm not interested in how it happens. What I am interested in is what can happen. And I believe that God can use me as a vessel, as a servant, and give me something that will help heal His people in the millions. And so that's my ultimate goal, is to be able to heal 1 million people a day by some form of language.
Wow. Very inspirational, brother. Of course, the my Vain Verdict podcast family don't know this, but look, I enjoy every conversation I ever have with you, and I'm sure, and from the looks of the response that I'm getting, everybody feeling you too. And I gotta ask the final question, what everybody want me to ask: how can the people reach and talk to you, if at all possible?
Yeah, you know, go on my website, JamelDavenport.com. J-A-M-E-L, as it sounds, Davenport, D as in dog, A as in apple, V as in Victor, E-M-P-O-R-T.com. And there's a section there where you can send me an email and write a little bit about yourself. It's a very easy step. It walks you right through it, and I get all the emails directly. I read all of my emails, and I respond to all of my emails, even the crazy ones. I love my crazy people. So, yeah, you reach out. You can follow me on Instagram. And my Instagram is Jamel_Davenport. And if you want to look at any of the pictures and make comments or likes, I usually respond that way as well. But for the most part, if someone has something that they really want to discuss and talk about, they go directly to my website, JamelDavenport.com.
That's what's up, family. Brother, I appreciate you joining the Vain Verdicts podcast tonight. It's been a very fruitful and inspirational conversation. Give me 1 second, man. Let me clear these bills. 1 second. Give me 1 second, boss, man. Family, y'all already know we're getting close. I'm going to give them a little quick little wrap up before we get Coach Davenport up out of here. Y'all already know every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday night at 11 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com. You can follow us on the Facebook at The Vain Verdict, on Instagram, The_Vain_Verdict, on Twitter at The Vain Verdict, Google Plus at The Vain Verdict, on Skype when I do decide to ever Skype. But y'all can always hit me up. That's going to be The Vain Verdict as well, family. Y'all already know. Again, y'all can see me on Trap the Series out right now, youtube.com/Trap the Series, episode 201, 202. 203 is out right now. 204 will be dropping this Monday. We got the cast of Trap the Series joining us this Monday. No, I apologize. They'll be joining us Wednesday. This Monday, we got the great author Jennifer Rashawn going to be joining us, the author of The Secret to Ageless Beauty. She'll be joining us on this Monday at 11 p.m. Also, y'all go to iTunes, BMO Ben featuring the boy Pimp Black. Yes, she did. But other than that, Coach Davenport.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you for joining us tonight, brother. You enjoy your night. And, you know, stay a fan, man. We'll be throwing this out, promo for the tonight's interview. It'll be up immediately once we done podcasting. I'll be doing a flyer for it tomorrow as well, posting it and tagging you in it, though.
So, but it's very
awesome. Thank you. Man, this has been really inspirational for me. I'll tell you very quickly. Thank you for leading me with thoughtful questions, and thank you for listening while leading me. Most people just ask questions scripted, but you were actually engaged in the conversation and listening to me, and the thoughtfulness of your questions were very clear that you were listening. And so I appreciate you for doing that and being conscious of that and being mindful of that. That takes a good skill. So I thank you for that. I salute you for that.
Oh, I appreciate it, but I'm feeding off your energy, man. And more importantly, you know, I want the art of conversation includes the habit of listening. And that's one thing I always try to stress to people as well. So it's nothing I can take in and understand what you're saying, as well as our listening and audience. You know what I mean? They, you know, taking in, trying to get the information as well. So big again. And family, again, it's the Vain Verdict Podcast. We'll see y'all Friday night, family. Peace out.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Vain Verdict is being brought to you by www.coltdripping.com. Long live everything, relaunching 2018. Streetwear and apparel and more, exclusive streetwear and apparel and more. That's www.coltdripping.com. We are culture. Atlanta Custom Apparel. You need vinyl sublimation, need screen print done, want to put your RIP homies on the t-shirt, go over Atlanta Custom Apparel, holler at my brother Daoud, 1130 Euclid Avenue, right in your little 5 points, open Sunday through Thursday from 12 to 7, Friday and Saturday, stand open at 8 o'clock, y'all, again, Atlanta Custom Apparel, right in your little 5 points, at 1130 Euclid Avenue, EULCLID Avenue. Chris Smith, multimedia.weebly.com, logo designs, fly designs, brochures, book designs, editing, graphics. You like the graphics you've seen on the Vain Verdict YouTube channel? How about the graphics you've seen on the Instagram? You feeling that on the Facebook? All that's being brought to you by my brother Chris Smith, multimedia.weebly.com. Again, Chris Smith, multimedia.weebly.com. Blue Seas Express and Catering, Monday through Thursday, 11 to 8, Friday to Saturday, Friday and Saturday, 12 to 10, Sunday, 12 to 5, 890 Joseph E. Boone Boulevard, Atlanta, Georgia, 30314, Blue Seas Express and Catering. We're talking about doing for self. We're doing for self. Come visit your supermarket, 766 Joseph E. Boone Boulevard, Atlanta, Georgia, 30314. Your supermarket, 766 Joseph E. Boone Boulevard, Atlanta, Georgia, 30314. Remember the teachings of the messenger Elijah Muhammad, as related in the Holy Quran. O men, eat the lawful and good things from what is in the earth, and follow not the footsteps of the devil. Man, you can follow me right down to your supermarket, 766 Joseph E. Boone Boulevard, 30314. Follow the Vain Verdict. Facebook, at the Vain Verdict. Twitter, at the Vain Verdict. Instagram, the_vain_verdict. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 p.m. The Vain Verdict. blogtalkradio.com/TheVainVerdict. Peace and life, family.
The Vain Verdict Podcasts. You know, they say, the truth is a hard pill to swallow. Bullshit, we say, hold your nose and tilt your head back. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, everywhere at The Vain Verdict. GoFundMe.com/the-vain-verdict. Thank you for all the love and support.